Jesus, we praise you. And we thank you for this confidence that you give us, not in ourselves, but in you. And that as we look back over our lives, we can think of those instances where you've been with us and you've got us through. Not because we're strong, but because you are strong and nothing can stand against you. And we lift to you now, Lord, our doubts, our insecurities, our worries about what's facing us. And we choose to say with confidence, Jesus, we trust in you. We trust these things to you. Come, Lord Jesus, and do more than we could ever ask or imagine, because we know that you are able. So have your way, Jesus, we pray. And we thank you and we love you. Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. Please do take a seat. Very warm welcome to you all. My name's Sophie. I'm the curate here, one of the vicars. If you're new, it's lovely to have you here with us. I'm very impressed that you're all here. My husband got up this morning. I hear there was something exciting that happened last night. He was quite tired this morning, so it's wonderful that you're here worshipping together. And we're continuing in our series in Romans, and Jeremy is going to speak with us.
Thank you. May I read to you a few verses from Romans chapter 5? Romans chapter 5 and beginning at verse 6. Paul writing to those Christians in Rome, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." I had a late night last night. I mean, that sounds like I was at a wild party. It was nothing like that. I had a service in another church in the city that I had to go to, and I came back to work in the office after that service had finished and was aware of the wildness in the city around me while just taking a quick look at the BBC sport website at regular intervals. I left at 20 to 11 and the place was still alive with people. It was extraordinary to see, obviously, people had a very good time, but still in their suits in Princes Street, all carrying large St. George's flags. One offered to wrap me up in one. I declined the invitation, and he went on his way looking for another victim. When I got to the tube, it was extraordinary. It was just like rush hour. Four tubes went by on the central line before I was able to get on one. But there was when I was just thinking, oh, well, I'll just have to stand and wait. Bloke next door to me said, "What makes you happy?" And I thought, now do I duck this one or go for it? I said, well, lots of things recently. And I sensed at that moment I thought might be the Holy Spirit saying, "Is that all you believe, Crossley?" I said, well, of course, I said, my faith. Just aware that we were so packed that everyone was listening to us, and I was feeling slightly embarrassed, even though I was in my dog collar, so everyone knew that. I said, and there was a pause, "Oh," he said, "your faith?" I said, "Yes, my Christian faith. I believe in Jesus." "Oh," he said, "so do I." I said, well, that's very encouraging here on the central line. One doesn't meet that often. And he said, "No." He said, "I believe Jesus lives in me." I said, "Yes." I said, "That's absolutely right. And he's also reigning in heaven, isn't he?" He said, "That's absolutely right." He said, "Does that make you happy?" I said, "You know, it does make me happy. And you?" He said, "Yes," he said, "it does make me happy, though I'm always very keen to get lots of money at the end of the month as well." I said, "Well, there you got one up on me." And at that point, to my relief, because everyone was beginning to listen, the tube train arrived. But of course, the awful thing was, one of the things I've been doing as I've been sitting at my desk was looking for the final time at this passage and this extraordinary verse in verse 11. But we also boast in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, on that tube station, I should have been celebrating my relationship with Jesus, both in who I was and what I was willing to say. And in the end, it was a pretty spluttering start before I was able to engage with this chap about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, having said, this is what we're aiming for, this is what we should in God, it's God's initiative taking, counterintuitive, generous love that makes us people who boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Like us, those first Christians hardly deserved to be treated generously. But that's exactly what God had done in Jesus. But Paul had picked up, obviously, in the conversations and engagement that he'd had with them, that in spite of everything, they sometimes wondered about the future. Would God always be so committed to them? What happened if they messed up, got it wrong? What happened if they became so complacent because things were going well, or so tired and so busy that God moved to the periphery of their lives? Would he be as committed to them then as he was when he first called them to know him in Jesus? And in verses 9 and 10, Paul continuing by reminding them that their relationship with God at that very moment when they were preparing to celebrate it was the guarantee of his ongoing commitment to them. After all, Paul wrote, God had taken the initiative with them in Jesus when they were living without any interest in him at all. No interest in what mattered to him. While actually, as Paul writes here, they were living as his enemies. But the fact that they knew him, the fact that they had a relationship with him, was a guarantee that he was in with them for the long haul. Do you know that song we sang just before we stopped worshiping? Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Its promise still stands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. And actually, the more I think of it, as Sophie prayed, the more confident I am that you'll never fail me in the future. That history of undeserved kindness on God's part should reassure us that he's not going to abandon us. He loved us while we were his enemies. He certainly loves us now when we're his friends. And therefore, we're those who boast in him, who celebrate our relationship with him, who have a contagious celebration at the heart of our lives. Paul was echoing what Jesus himself had said to his disciples in John chapter 6. They'd begun to feel a bit insecure about his commitment to them. And he said to them, those who come to me, I will never drive away. The message gets the feel of it, that translation. He says, once a person is with me, I hold on and I don't let go of them. That's the promise to you and for me. Our celebration, our boast in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, our confidence springs from God's track record of his involvement in our lives. It springs from the love, mercy, and undeserved kindness we've received from him in Jesus. The promise of God's unwavering commitment to us that I'll hold on and I won't let go. Jesus looks at you and me and says, I am never, ever going to let go of you. In practice, this boast this celebration starts with us expressing in prayer our gratitude and amazement for that, finding that as we do so, our outlook changes, our confidence grows. We find it increasingly natural to talk about our faith. When I thought about how feeble I was in that early bit of the exchange, I couldn't help thinking, yesterday I'd switched the alarm off and slept for longer, and I had to rush into the city and straight to a series of appointments for the rest of the day. I wonder if I'd prayed, embarrassment would have been less, and boldness would have been more. I wouldn't have mind risking that he might have been sending me up. I'd have answered him straight. I'd have used the time I got with this chap there on the Central Line platform. I'll hold on to you. I'll never let go. How confident are we in our faith and in our future? Are you in your life usually better than I was in mine yesterday evening?